Blog Talk Radio.
You got me feeling like I'm walking.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from High Atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful Seating Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, thanks for joining us on this June the 2nd in the year of all of 2022. And the year's flying by. We're in June already. And the weather's getting nice. We had a couple of hot days and then a couple of beautiful days after that. A lot of rain. But that's okay. Lots of great things happening in the sports and the music world. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to bring it to you. We bring all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports each Thursday night when Jeff and I get together with our usual band of characters and have some fun and try to catch you up. Lots of good stuff. Rangers, if you guys haven't been following the Rangers this year, you really, truly missed out on a great story. Down 3-1 to the Penguins. They've come back all the way back and win that series. Go to Carolina, down 0-2 to Carolina, come all the way back, and they win that series. Great games in game 6 and 7, 6 at home and 7 on the road, and just a night that you would never have expected from the Rangers last night. So we'll talk about the Rangers. We'll talk about the Yankees, the Mets. We got lots. We got the Jets and the Giants in OTAs, both teams with maybe some aspirations this year. There's a lot of people out there picking the Jets to improve and the Giants to possibly compete. I don't know if they're that good, but we'll talk about it. In fact, I have the power rankings out here right now, and Jeff and I will talk about the power rankings when we have a chance. We'll talk about, Deshaun Watson has another woman accusing him. Tommy John, we'll talk about him. Tommy John will be a guest on the show in the next couple of weeks. Spoke to his wife. Tommy's actually doing much better. I'll tell you what's going on with Tommy. Kyler Murray's back in town, back in camp. Paul Di'Anno in concert again, first time from a wheelchair. We'll show you that. We'll talk maybe a little bit about the match play from Brady Rogers beating Mahomes and Allen. And we'll talk Marion Barber, the former Dallas Cowboy running back, passes away. And, of course, we have our guest tonight. Nate Hall from the band Old Heavy Hands will be joining us at about 7:40 to talk about the band's new release, Runaround, and their new beer and some other stuff and an amazing story about him and what he suffered and how he got to where he is today. So we'll get all of that in all in the next 2 hours and change. And thanks for tuning in. So let me get the show started the right way. Let's get my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Tomwinski, on the air, and let's get this party started. What's up, Hefe?
What's up, man?
Jeff, it's a beautiful day outside, and I got to ask the question. Jeff, how was your week?
It was a beautiful day out, Tom. Beautiful day to wear a hat, Jets hat. Let everybody know that you're flying the green colors.
So you're flying the green colors early?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and flying the green colors with your new work week, Thursday and Friday's off, correct?
Excuse me?
Now you're flying the green colors on a new days off, Thursdays and Fridays, right?
Fly them 7 days a week, man.
Really? Oh, you're flying your colors 7 days a week. Yeah, you should be embarrassed. But hey, Mike, what's up? Mike Weissman. Got some good stuff happening with Jeff, with our good buddies over at Hemp Wizard. I've seen all these videos and amazing stuff. They got great products over there. Jeff's a big fan of Hemp Wizard and their products. You got your stuff there?
I got it right here.
There it is.
Michael, I'm run out, completely empty, man. Look at this. This is horrible. Completely empty. Yeah, I don't even. It smells like plastic. It doesn't even smell any good anymore. Completely empty. I got to order some more. But I'm telling you, this stuff. Ever since I started using it, my beard feels so much nicer. It really does.
Well, that's that.
Try your stuff.
I think you should be in some of these videos. I've seen some of the videos and. I think you should be doing some product endorsements for Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co.
Oh, that's not my call, man. I'm just a consumer.
Well, we'll have some fun. Guys, this is show 542, headed toward 550. And July 28th, we will be having our eight-year anniversary party. And our big guest that night so far is a former 1980s, 90s wrestler B. Brian Blair will be joining us, Jeff and I. So be on the lookout for that. And the other people who are lining up for that night show, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get Mike and Joe from Beard Care Co., Hemp Wizard, come on and hang with us a little bit. We'll try to get some of our friends and supporters to chime in that evening.
It's open, man. Oh. It's open. We get somebody. The last couple of weeks have been kind of quiet.
And it has been a little quiet. And Jeff got the big birthday show coming up. We do the Jeff birthday show every year. I got a couple of guests hopefully lined up. We're waiting for some commitments. And
I might have an announcement.
Really?
Yeah, maybe a little before. It's either going to be a very happy announcement or a scathing review.
Oh, boy. Does this have to do with you playing in a band?
I ain't saying nothing.
All right. I'll leave it alone.
Right now, I'm not playing in a band.
Well, you got lithium. You got the lithium thing get going, right?
Yeah. I don't know what the story is with that, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, at least you get it.
Next Saturday, but something else I got my eyes on that keeps eluding my grasp.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh boy, we'll see that with Jeff Hester ready to announce that. But lots to talk about. The Yanks are playing great baseball. Took the first of a doubleheader today. Now won the series against the Los Angeles Angels. The Mets are on fire, 6 in a row, heading out to the West Coast for a big 24 games. If you're a Mets fan, this is going to tell you a lot about your season. You're down your two aces, but you guys, the team has been great. But you know, we could argue that not necessarily facing the greatest talent out there. Now they're going to get the Giants, the Padres, the Dodgers. They're going to get a whole bunch of teams in the next 24 days. And this is going to be, I think this is going to be a big part. If they come out of this below 500, it'll tell you a lot. If they come out above 500, this team will be fine and be hanging around the rest of the year. We'll talk a little about the Yankees. We're going to talk a lot about the Rangers tonight. If you haven't watched this series, Jeff, the Rangers are on fire playing great hockey.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't put all my eggs in one basket for the Rangers. Mm-hmm. They've won two cups in, 70 years?
That's very true. They do. But they're playing great hockey. Two great series against the Penguins and the Canes. Now they got off to a flying start last night against probably the best goalie in hockey right now and a two-time defending champion hockey team. They went out there and stuck six goals on the board and won 6-2 last night. Great game by the Rangers at home.
Listen, like you said a couple times, everything just seems more interesting when there's a New York team.
Absolutely, 100%. Yes.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. We're seeing bottom of beer. There we go. We got Beavis and Butthead's back, Jeff. We'll talk a little about Beavis and Butthead tonight.
I got to grab something fell off the computer.
Go ahead. We got old heavy hands. Nate Hall, combo chopping, chiming in tonight. We're going to talk about the power rankings in the NFL. I got a little article I sent over to Jess. You got Colorado. You know what? They got off to a great start. That's a tough team. That's going to be high-flying, and it'll be interesting to see how the high-flying West plays against the tough, defensive-oriented Lightning or Rangers, whoever gets out of the East. So, Mike, I agree with you. Hey, Big Lenny, what's up, buddy? You joining the Yankees, Lenny? I'm sure you've been enjoying the Yankees. We'll talk about the Sex Pistols and their gold, their tribute to the Queen for the Platinum Jubilee. Kiss do a meet and greet in a fish tank. We'll talk a little about that. James Lomenzo has replaced somebody in a big band. We'll talk about James Lomenzo. And who the hell knows? We'll get some other stuff on there tonight as we go. But Jeff, let's real quick. I do want to get to you about your big your 57-day arrest. I have to tell you for your Facebook jail term, 57 days. What'd you do?
Well, first of all, it's not jail.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I'm unable to comment on live videos or something.
I don't know
exactly what the fuck is going on.
That is your punishment? You're not allowed to comment on things?
Yeah, I wasn't commenting on live videos anyway. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what's going on with these fucking retards over there. I don't know if anybody from Facebook is watching this. I'm sorry. You're a fucking retard. Sorry.
Well, I'm sure that that'll go a long way from soothing everybody over. We're off of YouTube jail. We were on YouTube jail, the Hard Rock and Sports Show last week.
Don't play any videos, please. Don't play any videos from YouTube.
We'll have to wait till the end of the show. At least that way we won't get booted off the air. But
you get booted off immediately in like mid-video?
Yeah, you get booted off as soon as somebody picks up on it. Yep, as soon as they get one of their I don't know how it happens, but yeah, we got booted mid-video. So I fought it. We did not win our case with Facebook or YouTube. So it is what it is. Listen, either way, hopefully in the near future, we'll be doing this from Sirius XM Studios. If not, who cares? You know, all they can do is take away our video.
It's the point. I mean,
I get it. I get it.
You know what I mean? I can see if you had paid sponsors,
yep,
shit like that going on. You know.
That's the argument. I tell them it's on YouTube already. It's there for free. We pay to put our product on the air. All we're doing is providing publicity and promoting these videos. We're not making a nickel across us to go on the air. I don't understand what the problem is. We're not benefiting one dime from this whole thing.
They're assholes.
I get it. But listen, I'm glad everybody jumped in and piped in and said hello. And nice to see Lenny back. Staten Island Ferry Hawks. Got a female left fielder in the Staten Island Ferry Hawks baseball
team.
Yeah,
I saw that, man.
Yes, Michael, the big tech oligarchs are ridiculous, and I don't know. You know what? Somebody's going to go. Maybe Elon Musk will buy Facebook next. That's all we can hope for. That's all we can hope for. That and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being on the same plane and it unfortunately disappearing. That's all I can hope for at this point, but it doesn't seem to be not going to happen anytime soon. So, hey, my dad's on. Let's get my dad on. Let's see what he's got to say. Like I said, about 7:40, 7:45, we got Nate Hall from the band Old Heavy Hands. I like to get, we'll talk about them, their new beer, their new single, and Nate's amazing story. So we're going to get to all of that, and football and wrestling and, I don't know, a lot of good shit. So hang in there, guys. Have a good time with us, and stick it out as long as you can with us. It's great to have you on board. So let me get my dad on. He's on the video stream. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Mr. Florio?
I'm good. Tell me how to talk.
All right, Pops. First, I want to yell at you. I'm going to yell at you in front of Jeff. So, Jeff, I had some flooring delivered to my house today.
Yes, a what?
A flooring. I'm going to do the entire floor over in my house. For some reason, my wife felt we need to do the entire floor over. But, all right, listen.
It was expensive.
Very, very expensive. It is. But, okay, you know, you try to keep the wife happy. And, you know, you doesn't do any... doesn't diminish the value of your home, and you can only do it better, but okay. So I had it delivered, and we had asked the guy to make sure that it's wrapped in plastic because it was going to rain, and they weren't going to bring it in the house. They were going to leave it outside my house. Well, it's okay, no problem. I'll come home and take care of it. So I come to find out that my dad decides that he's going to carry these 40 bundles of flooring into my house against my judgment and my wishes. And I hope tomorrow morning he's able to walk, because my wife, who helped him, is now inside in bed with the bed back.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Nope. So I'm just letting you know. I appreciate your help.
You didn't suggest to me. You told me.
Yeah.
Jeff, you had a hero.
Yeah.
He actually told me. He didn't suggest it.
Yes.
Don't let him lie to you.
Yeah. I told him flat, I do not want you carrying the stuff into my house.
I don't blame you, but you know what? As somebody who's starting to get a little older himself, it's hard to admit when, you know, you can't carry this or you can't lift that. It's
right.
Not an easy thing. I mean, I feel as though I can still kick people's asses. I'll be in the hospital for a month or so healing up, but I still can do it.
Well, I appreciate
it. Your mother suggested it.
Yeah, I know. I'll speak to her another time.
What was the flooring?
What do you mean, what is it?
What kind of flooring is it?
It's like a pergo, but it's got the rubber backing. It's waterproof. It's really it's a nice floor.
You don't want that getting wet, man.
Well, the idea is it's waterproof. I mean, and the guy wrapped in plastic. We borrowed a tarp from my dad, so it was covered in a tarp. And it didn't even, it barely rained, if it rained at all out here.
But he yelled at me, Jeff.
I did yell at him. I did, Jeff.
You can't ask me, Mr. Forero. I'm still fucking scared shitless of you.
All right.
I'm not getting involved in this one.
So, Pop, what's on your mind this week?
Oh, I was watching the Ranger game.
Yep. Yeah. I'll talk to you off the air about this, Mother Dear.
And I tell you, they're playing, which I like, European-style hockey. Dirty.
No.
They're getting into fights. They're playing pin them, hit them. And they're just playing really great. And I haven't watched them during the year because they haven't really been.
They're not here. Comcast doesn't cover MSG anymore. Yeah, I know. Me too. I got to watch a couple national games, but, you know, it is what it is.
I don't understand that. Hockey is a sport that could use any boost that it can get.
Mm-hmm.
And they take one of the biggest teams in the NHL, and they don't allow them to go on in their own market.
No, here's what happened. So, like anything else, MSG negotiates with Comcast to carry their network. They couldn't agree on a price, so Comcast stopped carrying MSG. So no Rangers, no Knicks, nothing. Well, nothing from the Garden, nothing that's on the MSG network. So, yes, the Yankees have the YES network, so they're separate. But so all year I got to watch no Knicks, no Rangers, unless it was on national, whether it's on TNT or ESPN or some other, or the NHL network. It was the only time you got to watch it. It is stupid, but that, you're right. They're playing great hockey. What I love about this team, especially the last three games, is they're taking the fight and they're shooting the puck. They're not trying to make the perfect pass every single time. And they're shooting the puck, and it seems like every time they throw the puck at the net, it's going in. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch the last three games. And last night, I have to tell you, I was a bit surprised. Mike, you're right. Mike Weissman said it. They're peaking at the right time. And they really are, because I think the Lightning might be ripe for the picking here. And I think this Ranger team, they just got to keep the foot on the gas at it. They're shooting the puck well. They're getting great goaltending. You're right. They're not making a lot of mistakes. This is a good hockey team.
And I be honest with you, the Lightning are not getting – you can't be off – what would it go?
Not, 10
days?
Yeah, no game for 10 days.
And there's nothing you can do to simulate the game. So you knew last night, if the Rangers didn't win last night, they were in trouble.
I agree with that.
Ready to be picked. And I think the next couple of nights, you'll have to take advantage of them.
I agree. So, Jeff, the Lightning swept their last series, won in four games, and they were off, I think, close to 10 days. No. Well, that's the question I'm just going to ask you. Is there a point where – the Rangers have had to play 2 7-game series. They basically played a ton of hockey in the last month, and playoff hockey, and you're traveling, two or three times a week. At some point, when does too much time create rust?
Too much time off or too much time playing?
Too much time off, for the Lightning.
I don't know. I mean, listen, it's a good thing, bad thing. Any players that had any kind of small nagging injuries had some time to heal.
Mm.
You got some time to rest up, but it's the rhythm, I think, that you lose. It's not so much the rust from sitting. It's the rust on the rhythm, any kind of rhythm that your team had. And once a line gets going, you take a few days off, that many days off, and now they just lose everything. And it's like they got to get reacclimated with each other.
Yeah.
Listen, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, so – they have playoff experience. They do good at this time of year.
Two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. If this is going for three in a row right now.
Just because they wear blue doesn't mean that other team.
Yeah. I tell you that I really thought, the Rangers get up to a quick start, they tie the game. The Rangers get another goal pretty quick, they tie the game again. I thought that next goal was huge, and it turned out to be, because from that point on, it was all Rangers. It seemed like every puck they were shooting was going in the net. The guy couldn't stop anything.
Well, I think the first couple of games with Carolina
mm-hmm.
was a problem because, how do you go a whole game shooting the pucks 17 times.
Yeah, well, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, most goals that go in are really lucky goals. You know, they get a hit, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think this tomorrow night's game is very important.
Yes.
Because they have to take it to. You can't let them play on there the way they play.
I agree. I think this is a huge game for the Rangers. I mean, listen, you know, the Rangers have proven, you know, they've been down 3-1 and 0-2. So, you know, nothing's out. And, you know, you're talking about the defending champs, two-time champs. But, you know, listen, go out there and win the games at home. And, you know, then you go down to Tampa. And you know, all you got to do is you don't have to win both. You just got to win one. You know, and you're coming home 3-1.
You
come home 3-1.
You have to figure who's hungrier.
Yeah.
It has to be the Rangers.
Yeah, I would say right now they are. I the way they played last night, I think the Rangers are a hungrier team. I was totally impressed with every phase of the game. And, you know, here's the big thing for me the last few games. Zibanejad, Panarin, Kreider, Fox, Shesterkin, they're all their big players came and showed up and played. That's the big thing. You're not getting a fluke game from the fourth line. You know, your third pair of defensemen didn't come up with a couple goals or the fluke. Your big guys are making big plays on a big stage, and I think that's huge, Jeff. That's when you know you're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, but you know, Tom, I haven't watched hockey consistently in over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably closer to 25 years when they had the last NHL strike. And a problem the Rangers always have is they don't seem to want to shoot the puck.
That's
they just keep passing. And I've read about it in the news. I've seen people complain about it on Facebook. It's just they're not passing the puck. So, you know, they got to play a complete game. That's all there is to it. You could pass the puck 1,000 times in the zone. If you don't put it on the net, what's the sense? You're not going to get many points for passing the puck back and forth.
So I agree.
They play on the top of their game. And Mike is right. If they're getting hot at the right time, it's a big thing for them because that's what playoff hockey is all about.
Oh, it's the truth. Yeah.
Hot at the right time and having a carry. I mean, the year the Rangers won the Cup, look at the Vancouver Canucks.
Yes.
They were the eighth place team in the West or whatever.
In the West.
Back then. And they took the Rangers to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup. The Rangers won the President's Trophy that year.
Yes.
So, you know, Rangers, they get hot. It doesn't matter who's left in the playoffs as long as you're there. But now just play a complete game, finish your checks, shoot the puck, and keep them out of your end. That's all you can do.
Now, if the Rangers get to the Cup, if they manage, Jeff, would you sneak a peek and keep an eye and then say, you know what, for the sake of the show a little bit, I'll watch a game or two?
I may. I mean, this week I've been doing nothing but practicing because I got a show on the 10th. But
right.
You know, I've been practicing like mad. Today's the first day that I'm not practicing at night because of the show.
Right.
You know, but I may look into it. But it's, you know, Tom, when I lost the interest with hockey years ago because of the strike, it's like I just never turned back. It never got me back into it.
I myself, you know, in 99, 2000, I kind of bailed on hockey. Always kept my eye on it a little bit, but never really watched like I used to. And it's only the last couple of years that I kind of gotten back into watching. I don't watch it as religiously as I did when I was younger, but I tell you, there's very little better than a playoff hockey game. I have to tell you, the excitement in the arena, the teams, the games. I mean, every shot is just all over the place. There's nothing better than a playoff hockey game.
Well, let me ask your dad or something, Mr. Florio. I know when you were younger, of course, there was less teams in every league and everything, and it was set up a lot different. There wasn't cable. But with hockey, it's like anything, any kind of help that they want, it's the fourth sport out of the big four. What would you want to see as somebody that's been watching sports for a long time? What could hockey do to get your attention more into the sport? You're into baseball and football, but what can hockey do to really grab you?
I'd be honest with you, when I was a kid, hockey was on maybe once every 2 weeks on Channel 9.
Yeah, and there you go.
That you never saw it. And plus, coming from Brooklyn or Queens or the five boroughs, there was no ice skating. You didn't play, you know, wasn't you played basketball or baseball or even football outside the street. You couldn't play that. So I think hockey's got to get itself a superstar. And not not a Gretzky who plays in Edmonton or somebody in New York area.
I think if the Rangers win the Cup, there's liable to be somebody to gather attention. But is there a Messier?
No.
Or a Leach on the Rangers?
No, there's not a guy. I mean, it's some good. Again, the guys they rattled off are really good players. I think Adam Fox is one of the best defensemen in the league. Their goalie's phenomenal. But, Jeff, there's not that personality.
Not even so much the personality, Tom. I know where you're getting at. But remember when Gary Bettman said, Mark Messier, come get the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Grab the Stanley Cup. And it's one of the most iconic pictures in hockey history. Is there anybody who's going to be in that picture that you're going to remember 20 years from now?
I don't know. That's, you know, as a Ranger fan, you know, I think this kid Shesterkin, the goalie's got a chance to be an all-time great. Fox, you know, but again, it's not the same. It's not the same kind of crew as we grew up with watching the guys who, you know, were you know, the Messiers, the Gretzky's, the Paul Coffey's, Chris Chelios. You know, the names, the personalities just aren't there. Not to say these guys aren't great players and some of them may not be Hall of Famers. I just don't see that personality. You know, the guy like Messier who's going to stand up in front of the room and say, I guarantee a victory tonight. You know, we're going to win this game. We're going to win this series. There is not that personality on this team. It's a good team, but it's just not there. And I don't think there's that guy in hockey right now that I could point to where you'd say, you know, Wayne Gretzky's going to be on TV. Everybody's going to turn it on and watch to see him. A lot of good players. Just there's not that team.
There's not a face of hockey.
No.
Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Old-timers. They're each old-timers. Ovechkin is close. He's closer than I'd like to see him be.
Yeah. I would say the guy who's probably the face of hockey, and it goes back to what you guys just said, is probably Connor McDavid from the Edmonton Oilers. He's probably the best player in hockey, but he plays in Edmonton.
Who watches Edmonton?
Bro? Yeah, again, he's a great player and all that good stuff, but, you know, I don't know. But, listen, you know, it's playoff hockey. You get a chance to watch, you know, get out there and watch it. Yeah, McDavid's close. It's just, you know, you know what, Mike? You know what I always say? Here's how I always say it. When I was a kid, even the casual hockey sports fan knew who Wayne Gretzky was. I guarantee you the casual sports fan doesn't know who Connor McDavid is, and if they've heard his name, they probably don't know who he plays for.
Honestly, I didn't even hear his name. I know that there's somebody on the Edmonton Oilers that's pretty good just from seeing ads on TV and stuff like that, but I didn't know his name. But you know what, Tom, you got to remember something. When they had Gordie Howe.
Yep, there's another name, yeah.
Okay. And just as Gordie Howe was retiring and the WHA or WHL was merging with the NHL, there was a young Wayne Gretzky in there challenging for records. And he was making a run at some records. And then Lemieux came into the league with Yager.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh became a force. There was always somebody rolling into the league.
I agree.
And it was like, you know, Gretzky versus Howe. Gretzky versus Lemieux, you know, and now all of a sudden, I mean, Ovechkin is closing in on 40 years old, you know, how much more time does he have left?
And he's hated by most people, so it's not even like he could be that guy.
Sidney Crosby, nobody's going to ever forgive this kid anything.
No, he's another guy who's hated, and thank you, Lennon, my dad appreciate the comments, appreciate it, brother. But yeah, listen, I think I'm surprised because hockey with all the streaming and cable. I mean, hockey was bigger in the 70s and 80s. Well, let's say the 80s and 90s, and it was on TV less. And now you've got all this exposure for it, and yet it can't catch a big one.
Tell me, nobody plays hockey. Nobody. It ain't like, come on downstairs, we got a hockey game going.
Now it's that way. I agree with you. When we grew up, Jeff and I, we played a lot of hockey. Kids played hockey, played all the sports. I think it's now it's that way for all sports.
We played across Ormond Place. That was a little bit of a different situation.
No, yeah, I mean, but later on, I mean,
but if the Rangers win the Cup, if the Rangers get into the Cup and they win the Cup, you'll see nets pop up everywhere, wherever there's kids, if they come out of the house.
Yeah,
they'll be downloading a hockey app for their phone.
That's what I'm thinking is you're going to wind up with the hockey app on NHL, 2022. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you got a thing coming up.
Yep. Thanks, Pops.
Right. Tommy, be easy on me.
I'll see you and your wife this weekend.
I told your wife not to touch it.
Yeah.
I said because you... Oh, no, no. I can hear you.
Yeah. She's taking ibuprofen in the bedroom right now, so...
All right, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
See you later, Mr. Carl.
All right. That's my dad. He's here every week with us, and it's a lot better having him on the video with us, Jeff, now.
Yeah. You know, like, when he was on the phone, sometimes things get astray. At least he's there, so you're kind of keeping an eye on him, and you can wait to see if he moves his hand or if he opens his mouth like he wants to say something so we can get him on. But, it's always nice to see your dad, too. I haven't seen him in person in a long time.
Yeah, we're gonna plan some stuff and maybe have some barbecues and get ready to see each other a little bit. And now that the pandemic's over, I haven't heard the word pandemic in a while, so I'm assuming it's over, Jeff. Maybe somebody hasn't told us yet.
I know that some guy I work with just got diagnosed with COVID.
Did he give him some Robitussin and tell him to go home?
Yeah.
Give him some tussin, Jeff. Give him some tussin.
What's going to happen is at this point in time, but I got one of my coworkers was the other day talking to me, and he was like, "Well, what the fuck is it now? Is it just a cold, right? That's all it is. Can they say it's a cold now? It's just going to turn into a cold." It's like, you know what? I'll go. I don't care if they said it or not. You said it. That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
It's a cold, as far as I'm concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a cold. We have monkeypox. Hey, I heard driving in yesterday. There's 10 or 20 cases of Legionnaire's disease up in the Bronx.
Legionnaire's disease, don't let that fucking bother you. Legionnaire's disease, every summer, somebody gets Legionnaire's disease. It usually happens up in the Bronx.
It's from water, right? Drinking bad water.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's from drinking bad water.
It's been around since we were a kid. Kids. Mm-hmm. It's Legionnaire's disease. Every year, somebody gets it in the summertime. It usually happens on a boat or an apartment building or something, and then you don't hear about it again until next year.
Yeah, Mike, I think Jeff has monkeypox. I think he gets mounted by the squirrels in the park, and he wound up with monkeypox.
Hey, listen, I got worse news for you than that.
Go ahead.
This year we're gonna be overrun with fucking animals, bro.
What? Oh, yeah.
On fucking just a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Driving up Bradley Avenue towards Rockland and Briel Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and there's a fucking skunk that goes running across the street. And he was big.
Yeah.
Okay? Big boy. There's a lot of deer on Staten Island.
Yep.
There's reports of coyote on Staten Island. There's reports of bobcat on Staten Island. There's deer up the ass. So there's all kinds of animals. I'm just, who knows? I can't wait. I'm hoping a bear or a wolf slips through the cracks for a while, for a couple weeks, man. Oh, please. Loose.
Skunks are a regular around here. I go outside, I see foxes outside the house sometimes.
Yeah, fox too. The skunks don't come up to you, right?
No, but we've had at the old house, we had a family of raccoons scratch at the front door.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, so we've had some crazy stuff. Pull up and there's a family of deer in the driveway just hanging out.
Yeah, but deer's not going to try to get in your house,
No.
You come in, they're going to run the other way.
Yeah, no, it's always an adventure. Now you never know what's running across the street, but that's okay. That's quite okay. Yankees no score on the top of bottom of two, second and third, two outs. Yanks go for victory number 36 in the second game of this doubleheader, trying to sweep the Angels. Great, they beat the Otani and Trout today. It was a lot of fun watching that. I got to listen to it. I didn't get to hear to watch it. I was working. So anyway, our guests. I see there's two of them. I know Nate's there. And we'll find out who else is there from the band Old Heavy Hands. We've got to get them on now. But guys, don't forget, hang in there with us. The Hard Rock and Sports Show every Thursday night. Jeff, Tom, and the cast of characters each Thursday night from 7 to 9:30. Today's episode 542, headed toward 550, and the big eighth anniversary bash on July 28th when wrestling great B. Brian Blair joins Jeff and I to help celebrate our eighth year on the air, and we got a few other guests popping up in the big Jeff birthday show.
I'm looking forward to that one, man.
Me too. It's the first time I'll have a real wrestler on the air with us. Unless, of course, Brutus Beefcake officially gives us the go-ahead that he'll be joining us. I haven't gotten the okay yet.
You can only hope, man.
Yep, so we'll see. But stick around, guys. We got a lot to talk about the NFL. We'll talk about James Lomenzo. We're going to talk a little bit about Kirk Hammett tonight. Beavis and Butthead. I want to wish Dave Menichetti, who was a guest on the show not too long ago, a couple of years back, his last bout of cancer treatment. So good luck to Dave Menichetti. And if you're a baseball fan, Yankee fan, Tommy John spoke to his wife. He'll be on the air, if not next Thursday, the Thursday after. So looking forward to Tommy John, who's Jeff down in D.C. right now. They're taking his cast from the elbow or the forearm that had the surgery, and it's being donated to the Smithsonian Institute.
Wow, it's still around?
Yeah, it's still around. So Tommy John will be on the show in a couple weeks. So if you're a Yankee fan, baseball fan, stay tuned for that. But, Jeff, we got two guests hanging in there. I want to hear their story, hear about their new song that coincides with the release of their new beer, Runaround. And the beer is, hold on, I got it over here someplace, Old Heavy Hands Beer, Small Fires, I think that's called. Yep, Small Fires. Let's bring on Nate and whoever's with Nate, because I didn't know anybody else was coming. Nate, how are you, brother?
Pretty good, man. This is Larry from Old Heavy Hands.
Hey, Larry, I'm Tom. That's Jeff, and we're from Hard Rocket Sports.
What's up, guys?
Tom and Jeff. How are you doing?
Well, we're good, guys. Listen, I listened to the new single. Great stuff. Love the stuff. And I gotta tell you, the voice doesn't match. It just hits you differently. But boy, you guys have a great sound. Tell me about the band. Give us a little history of the band and how you guys got to be where you are right now.
Yeah. So me and Larry both tattoo in Greensboro, North Carolina, and we played together years ago in punk bands. Larry's from Chicago, so I moved up there at a young age, and we kind of traveled and, you know, played punk rock for each other, you know, for years. And then I moved back to North Carolina and started tattooing. Larry moved down there and started tattooing, and, you know, we're at the shop in our off time, and just, you know, we naturally play music together all the time. So we just started writing songs, and that was kind of the birth of Old Heavy Hands. Also where the name comes from as well, you know.
Oh, from tattooing?
Well, yeah, so we used to give each other shit when we'd be tattooing somebody. But, oh, yeah, he's tattooing those Old Heavy Hands over there. Better watch out. And so it just kind of, it worked out. It was so fitting. So that's kind of what we went with.
So you guys are savages on the fucking needle or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like
he's
to get
it done
quick. We're efficient.
What's that?
You like to get the job done quick.
Yeah, yeah. I got to watch out for flying meat and go with guys like you, man. Fuck that shit, man. He comes out the other side.
Yeah, we got to make sure it's in there.
But,
I want to do it twice.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I got two tats and that's it. I'm good. I'm good for life. So I got it's long stories, but good. So listen, guys, love the music. Tell us about the beer. I want to get to your story because it's truly inspirational. And even the entire band. I know besides your story, fighting cancer, beating cancer, you know, other members of the band lost family members, and you know, you guys had a real rough time, but. Let's talk about some happier stuff. Tell me about Runaround and tell us about the beer because I'm interested to see, you know, and if we can get any of that beer up here in New York anywhere, let us know where we can get it.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, Runaround is one of those songs where it's kind of like a revelation after the fact, like a self-reflection, like, you know, you realize you're the asshole in all this. You know, you're the cause of the problem, but sometimes we don't realize that shit until way after the fact. You know, so it's kind of like it's one of the songs that just where you realize that and you kind of change that. You change your story. You know, we're the ones that are in control of that. So,
yeah, I got to tell you, Nate, your stories. I mean, you're married. You got four kids, two grandkids, a tattoo business and the band. And you fought your ass off from stomach cancer. I mean, when I read your story that Michael sent up on my email. And I appreciate, I don't know how he got my email, but I'm glad he did. I have to tell you, it was such an inspirational thing. I said, I got to get this guy on. I mean, you know, I go to work, I complain about this, I complain about having to talk to Jeff every day. Who wants to stare at that face every day when we do the show? And I go, I read this thing, and I go, I got nothing to complain about. This guy busted his ass and did this. I mean, it's a truly inspiration. I mean, it's, you know, it's TV movie of the week stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, I couldn't have done it without my friends, man, and the whole tattoo community, you know, with this dude right here. You know, it took everybody.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, sometimes we need a whole tribe to kind of get us through, you know, hard times and shit. So thankfully I had a real good group around me and all my homies, and, you know, it made the ride a little easier, a little less bumpy than it was.
Hey, Larry, you know, when you get the word from Nate and you know what he's about to go through, I mean, I can't believe this, or is it, all right, screw this, come on, man, we're going to get this. You know, what's the attitude of everybody around Nate and rallying around him? What's that like?
Oh, yeah, we got his back 100%, so that was, you know, the attitude was that, you know, nothing really bad was going to happen. We were all there, and we were going to fight through it with him, so.
That's amazing. Yeah. Nate, Mike Weissman, who is partners in the one of our sponsors, we call sponsors friends, Hemp Wizard Beard Care Co. He said to tell you that you have a glorious beard.
Nice. Thank you.
You get a chance, my boys Mike and Jeff. Yeah, Jeff.
I got their stuff, man. I use their stuff on my beard every day. It's really nice. It's good stuff.
Send me some, man. I would love to try it.
We're gonna get you hooked up with the boys. I'm gonna talk to Mike, and Mike's actually the top notch people, Mike and Joe, and you guys I think would fit well with what they do. So and then tell us about the beer now. How do you guys how do you go from tattooing and fighting cancer and fighting crime and everything else? I know, Larry, you had to fight crime when you came from Chicago, because you go out of there with a few bullets in the ass. I guarantee it.
Well, yeah, so the beers, man, so our bass player works at a brewery right across from the street from the tattoo shop called Little Brother Brewery. And, you know, we had just finished recording the record, and we're like, you know, we want to do something than just release the music. Like, there's so much more here we can do. We're all artists, you know, so we kind of put our heads together, and we felt like the first cool thing to do would be a collaboration beer with a local brewery, which is directly across the street from the tattoo shop. So, you know, it's just kind of like spreading the love between everybody. And I drew the artwork up for the beer.
Mm-hmm.
We all like to participate in the cannabis. Kind of what helped me get through.
I saw the red eyes video.
Right.
There's you left no doubt what you guys like to do.
What, New York, so you guys are legal there now, right?
I do not participate in that thing, but others do, and yes, it is legal here now. Yes.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, going through chemotherapy, without it, it would have made my life a complete, total living hell. It was the only thing that gave me any like saving grace and relief throughout that entire process. And it's a very upsetting to know that people that have to go through those treatments, because I mean, it's basically poison. It is poison. And that's what they're pumping in your body to kill any cancer cells that
sure.
are in there.
Mm-hmm.
But without that, man, like it would have been the worst. You know, it was already hard with my children seeing me laid up on the couch. You know, they knew what was up. They knew we didn't try to hide what was going on. But that was the only thing that gave me anything to get up and to be a dad and to be, you know, part of the family. That was, other than that, they just try to pump me full of opiates, and it's not really my thing. You know, it kind of turns you into a zombie, and that wasn't really what I wanted to be. I still wanted to be present in life. So it's kind of a shame that it's not available to everybody. But, you know.
It seems to be getting there. I mean, it seems to definitely be a change in the I guess it's going to be going the way of alcohol at some point. It'll just be thought of as alcohol at some point in time, and they'll get it regulated, and the government will get their hands in it and all that good shit. And that you know, that's when it'll be legal, when they can make as much money off it as possible. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but hey,
a couple old timers that just don't want to cave in, man. It sucks. They should just let it legalize.
It'll happen.
Right,
it's on its way. I mean, you know, we won't get to the politics end of it right now, even though I'd like to. But, hey, guys, make sure that everybody out there goes to oldheavyhands.com. Check out the guys' Facebook. Also, there are go to Facebook, Instagram, Old Heavy Hands on both. Plenty of places to catch up. These are oldheavyhands.bandcamp. plenty of places, the littlebrotherbrew.com, plenty of places to find out about the beer, about the tattoo. What about the tattoo shop? I don't see any love for the tattoo shop on the board here.
Tattoo shop called Legacy Irons Tattoo. You can go to at Legacy Irons Tattoo on Instagram, search it on Google, search my name, you can search Larry's name. It'll all pop up. But yeah, Larry tattoos there. I tattoo there, and our other guitar player D also tattoos there. So we all are with each other.
Wow, you,
all the time.
You guys, I was gonna say, you guys, I mean, I think I'm with Jeff a lot. You guys are like basically living together.
Right.
Holy shit! That's all right. But let me ask you this question, guys. I'll go with you. So you tell your background is in punk rock, yet your style is completely different from that. How'd you guys wind up in the, you know, basically southern rock or however you want to define your sound?
Right. I mean, I don't know. You know, I grew up learning how to play guitar, learning how to play country songs.
Okay.
From my grandfather, you know, old Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, George Jones, all that stuff. And I never made the connection. Like, through my teenage years and my 20s, I'm like, oh, man, fuck country music. I don't care about that shit. And then as I got older, I realized that it's just slowed down punk rock songs.
Yeah, social distortion for me. I was like, yeah, this is just country music. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think when we first started, we kind of wanted to make more of an Americana style record, and we did. The first record, very mainly a lot of acoustic guitar on there, mm-hmm. and we didn't really have a band. And the second record, Mercy, we had a band at that point, and it just kind of became, you know, when you play with a drummer, man, it just gets louder, and that's kind of what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the third record, we've been playing with a full band for a few years now, and it's just a natural progression. It was never forced, you know what I mean? It's just kind of a natural progression. And I think now we're finally starting to sound like us and what we are.
Well, I got to tell you, I was, you know, blown away by the song. And I'm going to do a lot of going backwards. You know, a lot of the bands that Jeff and I got into, you know, the Judas Priest and the Iron Maidens, you know, we caught them on their second, maybe their third albums, you know, and then you go, all right, now I got to go back and get the catalog. You know, that's what's
right.
That's what we got to do with you guys. So we're going to do that. Hopefully it's all right with you guys. We'll feature some of your music on our show. We'd love to do that. And everybody should buy the new album. Is it out? It's recorded. Is Small Fire is out yet?
The record's not out yet. The record will hopefully be out around the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 10 songs total. And Runaround is just the tip of the iceberg, man. There's a lot of really good crushing songs. I feel like it's probably some of the best songs that we've written to date. So
all killer, no filler.
Right. Every song is a crusher. Everyone's really good.
Well, guys, make sure you check out Old Heavy Hands, which is Nate Hall, Larry Wayne Slayton, David Self, Josh Coe, and John Chester. And you make sure you check them out on oldheavyhands.com, Facebook, Old Heavy Hands, Instagram, YouTube. Check them out. These guys are the real deal. They got a great story. And I got to tell you, I'm rooting for you guys. You know, anything out there? You got any shows coming up? We got anything you want to promote?
We've got 3 dates we're going to do in July. July 7th, 8th, and 9th. It'll be Asheville, Charlotte, and Greensboro. We're going to do it with one of our friends from Atlanta. Their name's Brother Hawk, another crushing band that you guys should probably check out. I think you'd really dig it.
Hell yes.
Yeah, that's all we got for the shows at the moment. We're working on a lot of online content stuff for everybody. We're trying to book a few shows towards the end of the summer, and we got a whole lot of new merch and a lot more drops of some more goodies. Not beer, but they're goodies. But we're going to be releasing those pretty soon. I hope everybody digs all the stuff that we're about to drop on them.
Well, we listen, guys, we're fans now. We're rooting for you. Nate, your story is inspirational, and we wish you nothing but big success and a lot of good health for you and everybody, Larry and the whole crowd. Larry, just don't go back to Chicago. They're killing people every weekend, man. Stay out of Chicago. Stay in North Carolina. You know, and they got a mayor there who just wants to go, it's okay, kill everybody. It's okay. We'll just blame the cops. It's no big deal.
It's a hell of a place.
I'm telling you, but listen, you guys are in a good place. Good luck with the tattoo shop, Small Fires Beer, the album when it drops, and, of course, Run Around, everybody, check it out, oldheavyhands.com for more info on these great guys. And I'm going to get you guys hooked up with Mike Weissman and Joe Cassano from Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. You guys will love him. Larry, you have to get a little more. You got to get a little more going there, Larry.
I'm working on it.
Come on, man. We got to get you working here. I mean, Jeff's been trying to get me. I can't grow it. But you got looking at Nate. If Nate can grow with all the poison that went in him, you got to be able to pull it off, my man.
I'm more of a mustache, dude.
Well, they got plenty of body water. They got body lotions. They got a whole bunch of stuff over there at Hemp Wizard. We're going to get you guys hooked up together. In the meantime, guys, anytime you want to come back, you let us know. And really, good luck with the album and the beer and everything else. We wish you guys luck, and we're looking forward to getting together with you guys again.
Thank you very much, man. Nice talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Later, take care, guys. That's Nate and Larry from Old Heavy Hands. And we were nice enough to join us tonight. I love those guys. That's the kind of band I can root for, Jeff. They just, you know, the music kicks ass. They're unabashed about what they do. And they just say F you to everything, including cancer.
Yeah, I hear that. So, I hope he stays healthy.
Absolutely. Old Heavy Hands, guys. Make sure you check those guys out. Fun dudes, man. I'm not sure I can hang with them. I think I might. I don't think I can hang, Jeff. You might be able to hang. I don't think I can hang with them.
Well, younger day, yeah. I don't know about now. It's been a while. Well, I'll bring it up a little bit.
So Jeff, you got
much out there just yet. You know?
All right, you got anything you want to put out there now? We got.
Sure, why not?
Go ahead, throw it out there, Jeff.
I was just wondering.
Yes.
The Giants. Yeah. You said something earlier today. I didn't want to laugh with the show coming on.
You don't want to wreck my spirits?
Well, no, I don't care about your spirits.
You care about my spirits? Okay.
Unless your spirits are the last thing for me. You're a Giant fan. I don't give a fuck about your spirits.
That's true. All right, so what is it you like to question about my earlier comments?
Well, what did you mean by that?
Which one?
They don't even have a steady quarterback, and you're like, they're going to get ready to compete for,
yeah.
Did you say division title?
Absolutely, division title.
Oh, come on. Yeah,
let's be honest. My this team is poised and ready.
They're poised and ready. They don't even have a quarterback this year.
They do have a quarterback.
Who?
Daniel Jones.
He's not. They didn't sign him.
It doesn't matter. He's going to be the quarterback.
If he was good, they would have signed him.
It's a formality. Listen, these guys weren't around last year. Dable, Joe Shane, they're doing the smart thing. They said, all right, let's let the kid play for his contract. Let's let him play for supper and let him show up. And he has. He's killing it in the OTAs.
Oh, to borrow, I don't like to use phrases from other people.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
What did he do? Something during the OTAs with,
yeah.
What was he throwing with a fucking shorts and a t-shirt?
Absolutely.
A jersey?
Yes.
It means nothing for these fucking young rookies. It certainly ain't going to make any difference for him.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Now, I will tell you that beside the fact that they have our franchise quarterback, I won't call him elite yet. But he is our franchise quarterback.
I know, but he's falling short of that mark 4 years.
We have our Hall of Fame running back ready to go, full speed ahead. Our offensive line is fixed. We got new play callers. We got it all working.
Hall of Fame running back?
Yes, Hall of Fame running back. Don't forget, it was only a couple of years ago. The guy rushed for 1,500 yards and ran for and caught another 300-400 yards.
Nobody gives a fuck about a running back now.
Yeah,
you know,
we do.
I broke 1,000 yards last year. It was like 37 fucking people. And now this guy comes on, Russell Wilson. Get out of here, Frank. It's just Russell Wilson.
Well, Frank, you'd better bring it up to Shesterkin at this point. Russell Wilson. Oh, Frank, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Another one of those teams think you're going to win the fucking Super Bowl.
Listen, the Giants are in a weak division. I'll be the first to say it. They have an opportunity to share. The Redskins suck. The Communists suck. The Eagles. I mean, we're going to pull up the Frank's on. Let's get the.
If you're going to do this, give me 2 minutes.
Go
on. I need to get something to drink.
Okay.
Please, because my mouth is getting dry from laughing.
From all the lies you tell. Yeah, I got it.
I'll be right back.
Hey, Hot Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here. Hey, one thing while Jeff's away, you know, I read this article today on Josh Donaldson, and he's very upset that some of the guys on the team, and even you know, Joe Judge, my God, Aaron Judge kind of basically didn't back the guy up. And you know, I still can't for the life of me understand this whole thing, why this guy is not, listen, he may be a pain in the ass. He may not be a good teammate. This guy is not a racist. And I just don't know why the Yankees, especially the big guys on the team, Stanton and Judge, haven't stood up in front of a microphone and said, hey, he may be a dick, but he's not a racist. And I just don't get this whole thing where everybody is insinuating that this thing is a racist comment. It's just going to bother me to no end. And if I keep hearing Aaron Judge talk about this shit and not back this guy up 150%, man, I'm telling you, it's going to affect me as a Yankee fan. So please, dear God, somebody get a message to these guys and tell them that most normal human beings don't think what Josh Donaldson did was anything wrong. It's breaking balls on a baseball field, which has gone on from day one in the game till now, and certainly is not racist. So I please, dear God in heaven, somebody get to these freaking morons, these morons who think their shit don't stink, and they got it all figured out, and tell them, please stop. It's annoying. Also, don't forget, like I said, Tommy John's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. I spoke to his wife. He had a very bad battle with Guillain-Barre disease, COVID, near death, blood clots. It is called woke culture is toxic. And you know what, Mike? The problem with woke culture is simple. Nobody cares about woke culture until it comes for you. You know, I was talking to my uncle a few months back, and we were talking about woke culture, and he's like, oh, well, it doesn't affect me. You know, this, that, and the other thing. And then about 2 weeks ago, I was with him, and he got into how it was bothering him that the Indians had to change their name. And I said, Unc, everything is fine until woke culture comes for you. And then all of a sudden, you're offended. I said, so, you know, while you think that, you know, when they were tearing down statues was no big deal, it's a big deal. When a handful of people out there decide what's right for me and you and everybody else, you know, to listen to or to watch or to say or to do, that's the problem. You know, if I don't – listen, I'll say it right now. Yeah, I never believed in this Black Lives Matter movement. I thought the organization – you know, listen, it's in theory, it's a nice talking point, but turned it to the people who were criminals. They stole the money, the whole bit. And at the end of the day, I don't have to like it. I don't have to listen to it. But I respect the fact that it's out there. And to me, if I don't like something, I refuse to call the Washington Redskins Commanders. They're either the communists or the Washington Redskins. And if that's bothering me, that's my business. I don't have to support it. I don't support Coca-Cola products. I don't support Delta Airlines because, you know, their insistence that white people need to be readjusted because they are inherently racist, I don't buy it. So, you know, do what you got to do. But the woke culture, when it comes for you, if you didn't do anything in the beginning, tough luck. When they take your stuff away, let me know how that feels.
What? When they take your stuff and when they take my stuff and their stuff, they're taking your stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's not like your stuff is going to be there because you don't agree with it. There's nothing that's going to happen until these motherfuckers stand up.
I agree. Until us assholes who get up every day and go to work, until we fight back and say, go fuck yourself.
And I'll tell you right now, Mike, I just saw what you wrote. I disagree with that. You know why? I'll tell you why I disagree with it. Because as true as it is, it does not matter. If you're white, you're against them no matter what, no matter who you are. No matter who you are. They don't care that they want it their way, and that's it. They are the better race. That's how they're looking at it. We are nowhere near on their level. They want to put us down. We are the white American male, and we're going to become a thing of the past. We're going to become extinct with dinosaurs at this point in time.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think that if we don't, you know, do something to step up. But, you know, here's the problem, Jeff. This is a small community that's doing this. And what happens is all the fringe people who are around there going, great, take the statues. Great, change the Indian's name. Great, change the Redskins' name. Eventually, somebody is going to decide that something that you like or something that's important to you is going to catch up to you. And then when everybody's going to look around and say, what did we do? Why didn't we stop this? And, you know, frankly, I'm not sure it could ever come back. you know, one of these days.
Tom, it's not.
No, I agree.
I posted something on Facebook yesterday that I'm surprised it didn't get commented on or whatever. I shouldn't even see if it's still there. And it was a thing from the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I saw it. I forget where I was reading it, but I saw it, and then I grabbed the picture of it, where they actually posted the helmet with the five bullets in the back with rainbow-colored tips on it. If the United States Marines are now showing up and praising gay month or whatever, gay pride month or whatever, it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. If you're gay, that's fine. Because you know one thing, there could be gay pride month. That's fine. I don't care. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there straight pride? Is there straight pride month? Because I didn't see nothing for straight pride.
I
don't know if there's any straight pride month this month. This month.
Nope.
Month after. I don't know.
There's not. But okay. I got you. Yeah. Again, listen. They can celebrate all the things they want to celebrate. I don't take anything from anybody. I say just don't infringe on my rights. And if there's something that is out there that you don't like, then don't support it. Don't watch it. Don't pay for it. Don't visit it. And it's fine. And if there's not enough people who support it, it'll go away. But for a handful of people in this country to decide what you, me, and everybody else can watch, listen to. By the way, I got the same thermos you got. It is absolutely the best.
I hate it.
Oh, really?
I hate it, and I'll tell you why.
Why? Oh, no, mine's a little different. Mine's a little different. I'm sorry.
What do you do to make your water cold?
Put ice in it.
Okay. So now you put off ice. I put a lot of ice in this.
Me too.
Downstairs, I put ice. I'd say it's about 3/4 of the way I put ice. That took up almost all of the room. Now I can't put any liquid in there.
Okay.
Okay. Now the lid is on. I took a couple swigs out of there. I'm still thirsty. It's all ice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to put less ice, more water, because I'm assuming the same as mine. The ice will stay. The ice stays cold. You don't need as much ice.
Yeah, the ice stays good for a long time.
Yeah.
I actually need like a 2-gallon one of these. Put like that much ice and then the rest. I even put ice cold water that I had in a pitcher in there. That's why it was so long down there.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just takes forever. It'll stay cold. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cold, but there's not enough room, you know?
Yeah.
In my refrigerator, plus a two quarts.
Mm-hmm.
Of water, and then another 1-quart bottle of water.
Wow, a lot of water.
I like drinking soda.
Huh? I like drinking soda. Mike, you're right. There's too much self-entitlement now, and people are ungrateful. And it's the younger generation, and I'll blame our generation that we didn't do a good enough job with our kids of making them appreciate the country. And I think they will. I think as they get older and they have their kids and they start to really wake up, it'll flip a little bit, but it's the younger generation. There's no patriotic feeling.
It's not even a matter of that, Tom. You know what? When we were kids, we used to sit around and talk like, oh, yeah, I got trouble last night. My father kicked the shit out of me. Nowadays, if you hear somebody say, oh, my father kicked the shit out of me, mm-hmm. That poor father got a problem.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he's got to worry about his kid calling the fucking child services on his ass and getting arrested and everything else. Our generation let this happen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They don't want to hit the kids. Mm-hmm. Don't give them a trophy. Remember when we all thought it was stupid to get a trophy, a participation trophy? Nobody's seen it. It was the very beginning of this bullshit.
Oh, great. 100%.
Don't hit Junior. He's got fucking ADHD and all this other
shit. Yeah.
Well, how about when we were fucking kids and if one of us had it, you know what they used to say? He's fucked up. Give him a slap in the back of the fucking head.
Yeah. Slap the retard out of him.
Yeah. Okay. There was very little that they didn't have tolerance for this.
Well, the problem was back then, you know, not everything was an affliction. You know, now, oh, he's got ADHD. He's got an autism. He's got this. He's got that. Yeah. Everybody's got something.
We have a friend
who
definitely would have been on the fucking spectrum for something, and you know what I'm talking
about. I would definitely agree with that, yes.
Okay? Matter of fact, he'd probably be on more than one spectrum.
Okay? I would say you're right on that, yes.
And you know.
Should be on a few lists as well. That's all a different story.
Yeah, predators and listeners, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're right, Mike. You're 100% right. But in this kid's instance that we're talking about, you know, I'm sure his father gave him a couple cracks and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
This was the household he grew up
yeah.
in. And look what happened. You know, huh. He's the fine, upstanding citizen he is now. Thanks to the invention of the text message and the camera phone, he's been unleashed on the world, and there's no stopping him now.
Oh, boy. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here talking on a Thursday night. We got a little more time left. We're going to do a little football next. But hey, Mike, I got to hook you up with those guys from Old Heavy Hands. We got to get some of your products into their life, and you know, those guys that think would fit. Watch their video of Red Eyes; they fit right in there, Michael. So make sure we reach out to the guys in Old Heavy Hands. And their new single Runaround and the beer Small Fires and the album to come out. Lots of good stuff. Chef, you were up football. Let's do a little football talk. And I sent you an article in the New York Post. And
yes.
I'm wondering, did you have a chance to review it? Did you look at anything?
It was kind of hard to see on the phone.
Yep.
But let me pull it up.
Okay.
So I have it. Somebody was telling me. To me, silly. I don't even know what you call these things. Stevie Wonder thing.
Truth.
Well,
truth.
Right, whatever.
Truth. Somebody said, "Tell you the truth." That's the problem.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Doesn't fit. It doesn't fit to your lying narrative. But that's a whole different conversation. So, you know,
I think I could work this.
Good.
Okay, I could work this.
Okay, so you know. Scan it a little bit. One thing that stuck out for me was number 13.
Number 13, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I just thought that was way too high for a team with a questionable quarterback coming off with a new coaching staff and all that. I just thought this was way too high to rank this team.
You know what, Tom? I don't know how we can do this because we're not together, so it's kind of hard.
Yep.
Why don't we go through the whole list and wherever these teams are, let's just say they're good where they are. They should be higher. They should be lower.
Okay.
I think that's the best way because God only knows how long it would take us to put 32 teams.
Oh, in order? Yeah, forget it.
In order, but you know, I think we could talk about the teams that we have here.
Okay. Just so I noticed, the Yankees have a patch. On their jersey, which, by the way, I'm always against, but this patch is to remind us that on July 4th, I believe, is Lou Gehrig Day, and I think that is celebrated throughout all of Major League Baseball. So from, I believe, July 4th, everybody in baseball will wear the number 4 and celebrate the life of Lou Gehrig, which to me, Jeff, is an amazing thing in this day and age that we're still talking about Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Lou Gehrig. He may be one of my favorite sports stars of all time.
Yeah.
And guys, just I thought he was phenomenal, and we spoke about him in length so many times in the past. This is the first that I'm even hearing about it, to be honest, which I think that's a great thing. And what a way to be honored for somebody that's been dead for almost 100 years. So.
Yeah, it's got to be, what, 80 years that he's passed?
More,
the 19...
more than that.
1940s, I think he passed.
No,
away.
I don't even think he saw the 40s, dude.
I think it was 40. If I want to say it was 41 that he passed. See if I'm right, yeah.
I thought it was the 30s.
No,
you're right, 1941. June 2nd, 1941.
Yep.
So that actually is closing in on 90 years, right?
Yep.
90 years.
Yep, yeah. Closing in on 90 years. So it's actually 80 years. So 41 and 80, 22. So, yeah,
we're 81 years.
And we're still out there celebrating Lou Gehrig. So, good for baseball. Yeah, I think it's a great thing. So, actually, died today's the anniversary of his death, June 2nd, you said, right?
Yes.
Wow, it didn't even occur to me. I would have got a little something up on the screen today for Lou Gehrig.
Slow down.
What's that?
Slow down. Or we maybe get yanked off the air. Don't put anything up yet.
Gotcha. All right, so
let's get into this football.
Let's do it. All right, so number one, do you want to start back end or front end?
Let's start at the back end. We got the Buffalo Bills at number one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's right now as it stands, I think it's a good spot. I think the AFC is a loaded conference this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Buffalo Bills are there. They're not up and coming. they gave the Kansas City Chiefs a great game last year.
Mm-hmm. One of the best football games we've got. Yeah.
Whatever it was. I think that Josh Allen is the real deal, and that team is going to a team to be reckoned with. I have no problems with them being in the first place in the power rankings.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree. I thought they – well, listen, they played one of the best games I've ever watched. I thought that was a fantastic football game. I thought they underachieved. I thought that's a team that should have won to the Super Bowl in the AFC last year. But I have no problem. I think that the things they've done, they signed Von Miller. They've done so much there. I think that they deserve to be the number one team in the league right now. I just think that's totally phenomenal.
Agree. Totally agree. Next, we got the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go out on a limb on this one.
Yeah.
Our friend John Marheka likes to say. I'm going to say I think they're rated a little high.
I agree with
that. I'm going to tell you why. Tyreek Hill, I just do not understand the trading of Tyreek Hill and the timing of that trade. And did they do enough to backfill that position in the draft? So and in free agency. So I agree, Mike. I'm going to say they're overrated. A top five team, without a doubt, just because of Patrick Mahomes. But this is a team that hasn't been the same since they lost the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And, I just think that they're rated a little higher. Still a top five team, just a little too high for me.
I think with the way they lost that playoff game to Cincinnati last year, yes, the losing Tyreek Hill, I've got to be honest with you, I don't even think they're going to win their division this year. I'm looking for a big year out of San Diego, for Los Angeles, not the Chargers, I apologize. I think they're too high. I even think top five might be too high, but I could see it. I could see that, but... I do think they're going to hover in that area. Mahomes is a great player. Reed's still there. they'll be fine. But you're right, Jeff. I do not believe they deserve to be ranked number two in football.
Go on with the next one, Tom.
All right. So next up is first team in the NFC, the Green Bay Packers. And, I think this is almost no choice to pick them. And I'll tell you why, Jeff. Because who else are you going to pick? The NFC this year is really underwhelming. I mean, I'm expecting a decent year out of Tampa with Tom Brady coming back and a good part of that team back again. But Tampa's got a new coach in Todd Bowles, who's underachieved when he was with the Jets. I don't think this is going to be the same Tampa team that we've seen the last couple of years. But I think Green Bay deserves to be there because I just think they're probably the best of the rest. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to say overrated on Green Bay also. This is a team that, would they make it to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row?
Well, last year they made it to the they missed out on the championship game. They lost the game before, I believe, right? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yes, because they wanted to be...
It was L.A.
and Tampa. Correct, yes.
Right, but it was still.
Oh yeah, they made the second round of the playoffs. So yes.
So how many years in a row?
Oh, absolutely. Three, four, easy. Yes.
And didn't make it. I do not like Aaron Rodgers. I think that he's also overrated for a quarterback that everybody says is so great.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not, hasn't been able to take his team to the next level.
Okay.
So I just not into him at all. Man, I'm sorry. Best team in the NFC North. I say yeah. They are the best team in the NFC North, one of the better teams in the NFC, without a doubt. But they're not doing it for me. I don't believe they're a top three team. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the next team is the Los Angeles Rams at four. Are you saying you think Los Angeles Rams should be number three?
I think the Los Angeles Rams would have been a better choice for number three, maybe even number two. They're the Super Bowl champs. Matthew Stafford was a great quarterback in the Super Bowl last year.
Yes.
He played hard. He won.
Mm-hmm.
That team was impressive in the Super Bowl. And, listen, they played a hard game against the Bengals. But I just think that everybody did their part for L.A. last year, and they were able to walk away with the championship. I think L.A. should be higher than what they're ranked at number four.
I'm not gonna argue that. I still think that they sold their soul to the devil. in order to get that thing. They made a ton of moves. I'm going to say that I actually think they're going to take a step back. You can't give me the team been able to repeat. I think they're going to take a major step back this year. Aaron Donald's still sitting around talking about he wants more money or he's going to retire. Sean McVay nearly retired to go be a commentator for Fox. I think this team's got a half a foot in the door. I do not think you're going to see the same team this year. So I'll say I don't know if I have a problem with them at number four, but I don't think they deserve to be number three.
And then that brings us to number five, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This, to me, is a team that everybody for years we've been saying, and now with Brady, when is the wheels going to fall off? But once again, I got to ask, when are the wheels going to fall off? This guy just seems to keep playing and playing and playing. I pray that, you know, something happens to him. He has one arm shorter than the other. He can't see over the offensive lineman anymore. Something that happens that he just can't play, period. Never mind at a high level. I want to see the man's career over. I want to see him retired from the NFL. I don't want to hear his name mentioned on Sundays. I do not like Tom Brady. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at five right now were totally overrated. I think they're old, and I don't think they're going to be the team that everybody thinks that they are. Unfortunately, they play in the NFC South, where by default they're one of the best teams in that division, if not the best team in that division. So, but I just don't think that they can hang with the big boys. I think that they're a top 10 team, but definitely not a top 5 team.
I agree. I do. I'm a big fan of Brady's. You know that. Mike hates him too.
People hate him.
I'm a big fan of Brady's. I agree with you. I think they are getting old. They lost a couple of guys from that team this year. So I'll tell you that if it was up to I think they ranked a little high. I think there's much better teams in the AFC at this point than I do in the NFC. So to have three NFC teams in a row here, I don't think it deserves. But you know, that leads me to number six in Cincinnati, and I got to tell you, Jeff, I think Cincinnati had a great year. I thought Joe Burrow and Lamar Chase had a great season. I think that's a little bit. I think they were a little ahead of schedule, and I think they'll take a little bit of a step back. I do think they'll win the division, but I do not think they'll make the run for the Super Bowl again. So I think they're a little high on this list.
I like Joe Burrow. I think he rebounded nicely from his injury last year.
Agreed.
I think he helped guide this team. he impressed me in the Super Bowl. He looks like he plays with poise. He's got a rapport with his that kid, that receiver.
Yes, Chase. Yep.
I'm bad with names.
It's okay.
Newer guys. But I do think that this team, and I'm looking at the list, you're going to say one, two, three, four of the next five teams are AFC teams. But I also think that number six and seven should flip-flop.
I agree with that.
Chargers ahead of the Bengals.
Yep.
I think that the Chargers are going to be a team that's going to put it together a little bit. Maybe this year's Super Bowl contender. Maybe this year's AFC West winner.
Yeah.
But I think Herbert is a great quarterback. It was a lot of fun to watch him.
Yep.
And I think maybe the team in that division to give Mahomes and the Chiefs a run for their money, without a doubt. What is your thoughts on that?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I do think they're ranked a little low on this list. I think they made some big moves. Yeah, Frank, this is no surprise, Frankie. None of us are surprised. I do. I think picking up J.C. Jackson and Khalil Mack, I think will have an effect on that defense. And I think Herbert's the best quarterback in that division right now. I think hands down, he's the best quarterback in that division. I'm not taking anything away from Russell Wilson and his experience or Mahomes. I think Mahomes is a great quarterback, but I watched Mahomes fall apart in the second half of that game last year. And I do not think they're going to have the year that they, you know, no Tyreek Hill. You know, I think they're going to take a major step back. I don't
understand that. I'm sorry. I still don't understand it. How the fuck do you trade Tyreek Hill, man?
I just can't afford him, but I will agree with you. I think they need to step up one step, and I think Cincinnati's got to fall at least a step behind that. And I think they'll win the division. I think they'll make the playoffs. They may even win a game, but I don't see a deep run this year for Cincinnati for a second straight year. I think they surprised a lot of people, and you know, they had a lot of good things fall their way in those playoff games to win.
Speaking of falling, sorry, I don't understand how this fell. San Francisco 49ers at 8. I don't believe that they're a top 8 team.
No.
I see them as a definitely being within the top 15 to, you know, closer to 10 than 15.
I agree with you.
But, I mean, now with Garoppolo still on the team, Trey Lance, are you starting him or you're not starting him? If you don't get rid of Garoppolo and you start Lance and then he throws a couple interceptions in a game, is he going to be looking over his shoulder like we're always talking about? I just don't understand that one. I definitely could see them being the second best team in the NFC West at this point in time.
I could see them fighting there, but again, a top 10 team. No, I do not put them in a top 10. They're hovering around it, Jeff, but I think there's too many questions at quarterback. Debo Samuel, I think there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. And then off the next one is the finally Frank Catalano. Here you go. We'll give you our assessment on this team. The Denver Broncos, who I think should be ahead of at least the San Francisco 49ers. But my thing is simply this. You know, the last time that you had a real good quarterback over there of your own was John Elway. I mean, yeah, you had Peyton Manning, but it was at the end of his career and everything. But, how does this team that had some of the quarterbacks that they've had not find a quarterback of the future? Yeah, you have Russell Wilson, but, I mean, how many top years are you going to get out of him? You know, I don't know. I don't know, Mike. I don't agree. I think they're a top 10 team. I don't think they should be around 6 because this is a team that they either start off 8-0 or they end up going like 4-12. So they're kind of a hard team to read, the Broncos, to me.
I agree. I agree with you. I'll say this. I think the problem for the Broncos is a lot of things like a lot of teams have in the AFC is there's so much talent there. I don't think they're as good as the teams in their division, being the Chiefs and the Chargers, but they may be better than some of the other teams in the league. So I think it's going to hurt them. In the standings, I don't think they'll run through their division and win a lot of games. They're going to have some tough time in the conferences with some of the teams. But I think they're going to be better. Listen, obviously having Russell Wilson makes them better immediately. I just don't think they have enough. I don't think they're better than the guys in front of them right now. I think the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and I think the Chargers just got a lot better. So I think they'll outplay the Raiders. But I think that's going to be close. That's a tough division. I think it's the toughest division of football this year.
Right off the bat, in the top 14, you have 4 teams from the AFC West.
Yeah.
In there. So that's telling you what kind of team you got. I think that they're pretty much ranked the way that I would assume that they would be with the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and then the Raiders.
I flip-flopped the first two.
All of them didn't work. This may be one of the toughest divisions.
I think it's the best division of football right now. Yeah. I would pick this to be the toughest division in football, week in and week out. And to go out there and play those teams, I think it's going to be very tough. So I agree with you. I just think they're ranked too high. I think they deserve to be close, but the Ravens at 10, again, another team I think is too highly ranked. Now, it would be interesting on our part, who would we slide up in these places? But I don't feel that the Ravens are, that team. You know, there's a reason why, their quarterback won an MVP a little while ago, and yet, they haven't given him a new contract or a long-term contract. So I think there's some questions in Baltimore whether he's the man or not.
I don't think there's questions if he's the man, but I wouldn't give him a long-term contract either. And the reason I wouldn't do that is because he does too much with his legs. God forbid this guy gets hurt. That's it. Their season's over. You know, I don't know who their backup is. Somebody that I didn't.
Well, no, they had a kid who played a couple of games when Jackson got hurt. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Maybe Frankie will give it to us. But they had a backup quarterback who played well.
With a guy like Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. you know, a shot to the knee. That's it. We seen it happen with RV3. His career was over.
Yeah.
Then after that, you know, you got the Dallas Cowboys. Here's a team that I think is too low on the list, considering that they won the division the last couple of years. Dak Prescott is a quarterback. I think they're the best team in the NFC East, no doubt. And I just don't think – I think they're too low. I think that they should be higher. But I could also see why they're in 11. They just don't seem to win when it gets to playoff time.
Correct. That's part of – I think that's the biggest part of the problem, Jeff, is I think they've been the beneficiary of a very bad division. I mean, my beloved Giants have been bad. The Eagles are terrible. The Communists suck. I think they've taken advantage, you know, of a very bad division. And I think they're about where they should be. Maybe if one up, one down, you know, you can live with it. I think there are teams behind them. I think the Cardinals are a better team than they are. I think the Patriots are a better team. So I have a problem with the Cowboys being up that high in some of these other teams. But I think we both can agree that sitting at 11, it's not absurd.
No, it's not, but I just think that as a division winner, they would be up a little higher.
Okay.
You know, you got to remember this, okay? You got a team that thought Chargers didn't make the playoffs last year.
Right.
The Broncos didn't make the playoffs last year. Baltimore didn't make the playoffs last year, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Right. And then you got Indianapolis at 12.
See that?
Didn't make the playoffs this year. And you got the Cowboys sandwiched in there. I just don't think it's a good team. But speaking of the Colts, here's a team with Frank Reich. I like him as a coach. I think they tried to, and then finally got better at quarterback.
Yep.
They got a new quarterback again. This is the third year straight season. They're starting with a different quarterback. And, you know, Matthew Ryan.
Yeah.
When is too old? You know, start building your team around. I mean, the guy's, what, 36, 37?
I'm not sure. I would have thought 34, but he's in that range.
Yeah, I think he's like 36, 37.
You may be right. You may be right.
But I just personally, I don't see the Colts, another team that they've been trying to sell us for a couple of years now, and they just haven't done anything. So
I disagree with you on this one. I think the Colts should be ranked higher. I think they're a better team than some of the teams in front of them, including – the 49ers and the Ravens, for sure. I think Jonathan Taylor is a fantastic weapon, had a great season. I think the one thing that held them back last year was their quarterback situation, which I think, while I'm not the biggest Matt Ryan fan, I think Matt Ryan, by default, is a huge improvement there. And I think this team is going to contend in their division. And I'll be shocked if they don't win their division this year. I think the Indianapolis Colts are too low. I think they should be ahead for certain ahead of the Ravens and probably the 49ers. But that's just my opinion.
All right. And now we're going back to the NFC, which we've only been in the NFC a handful of times so far. And then we land at the Eagles at 13.
Yeah.
That to me is an overrated team.
Oof, I don't get this one, Jeff. What did we watch last year? What did we see? Listen, I think they had a good draft. I think they made some moves, but what have we seen that makes this team better than the Cardinals? Than the I don't think there any way. How could it even be better than the Raiders at this point? I mean, I'll give you a handful of teams that I just can't figure out: the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Raiders. I got to be honest with you. I would put the Jets ahead of them. I think the Jets have a better team right now than the Eagles do. So
let's watch them play first.
I'm just saying, listen, we're all talking about projections and possibilities. But I'm just saying, when I watched last year from the Eagles, I don't see a big turnaround. How are they better? I mean, certainly how they've been in the Cardinals. I mean, I know the Cardinals got some issues, but...
I know that everybody said that they had a good draft. So, I mean, maybe that helps. Jalen Hurts is going to be in his third year as starter, I believe.
Yeah.
So that they got that going for him. They got that kid from, what was it, Alabama 2 years ago
in
the draft.
Yep.
You know, so it's going to be his second year in the league. They are playing in a weak division.
Yep.
You know, certain teams in the NFL, in the NFC, the Cardinals didn't make it last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks, the Giants, the Redskins, the Bears, the Vikings. These are all teams that maybe look like they took a step back or aren't going to get much better than what they are last year. So I could see them maybe putting them there, but I don't. I think that Arizona and Philadelphia should at least, at the very least, switch teams.
I think the Raiders are better than both of those teams. I think the Raiders are better than both of those teams. Now they made the moves in the offseason. They got Adams from the Packers. You know, they've made some moves this offseason. I think this team is better. I think they're a victim of being in a very, very, very tough division and a tough conference. So do I expect them to make the playoffs? I really don't think they'll make the playoffs this year. But I think they're a better team, certainly, than the Eagles. I just don't understand this one.
Well, man, a team that the Cardinals, there's a team that I don't understand. Last year, what'd they go, 7-0, 8-0?
7-0 to start the season, and then, then 10-0.
Started to fall apart, it seems, as they went further in. It's like they burned up as they entered the atmosphere, like a rocket coming down.
If you go back and you look at Cliff Kingsbury's records in the pros and in college, his second halves have been basically fall apart time. So, I had them on the hot seat last year, and it didn't work out because they had a great start, but the finish was bad. You got Kyler Murray, who's pressing for a new contract, which I would, if I was them, I would not be giving him a long-term contract up there yet. He's not nothing to deserve it.
He's getting a long-term contract simply because they have a quarterback, they know what he's all about, and they're going to be afraid to let him leave. Because if he goes to another team and he does better, they're going to be kicking themselves in the ass. While I understand what you're saying, and I could agree with what you're saying somewhat, they don't want to end up being the team that let their quarterback walk away. And then all of a sudden, he's throwing Hall of Fame numbers up all season long.
I got you. I don't see that he has that kind of ability. But Jeff and Tommy here talking NFL football with you on a Thursday night. That's Lou Gehrig night in the Major League Baseball tonight. They're all wearing patches, and they're showing videos and all that good stuff.
That's why, being that he died, that's probably they started the anniversary and countdown to
correct
what they're going to be doing for him. But listen, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do for Lou Gehrig.
Me too. We'll talk a little football right now, though. So we'll do our own Lou Gehrig special thing out for sure on July 4th or one of the shows right around that. We're both big fans. And I think Jeff's even convinced me over the years that if I had to pick one player from, Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig, I might take Lou Gehrig because while I think Babe Ruth was a fantastic player, pitcher, hitter, set all sorts of records. When you dive into Lou Gehrig, boy, it is hard to anything away from that guy, Jeff.
You know how I feel.
Yeah, it's easy.
I honestly and truly, I didn't have to convince myself. I mean, when you play with Babe Ruth and you're throwing numbers up like Lou Gehrig did in his career.
Oh, yeah.
Consistently for years, it wasn't like he had these numbers for one or two seasons. He threw out these numbers for years.
And Dick, if he didn't, he was late in his late 30s, but another couple of years, you think about what he could have, if he had just stayed the course, been average years, his numbers would have even been off the charts.
Interesting. What would his numbers have been? I know we're getting off the subject here, but real quick, this is stuff that we could save for when we do a show about him again for his birthday or his whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Gehrig doesn't get sick and doesn't play with Babe Ruth. Is there a change of flip-flop in the records?
I don't think so. I'm pulling up his stats right now. Let me see. I don't think so. I don't think he would. I don't think he would have hit 700 homers. But let me.
Tom, look at it this way. We already pitched to Babe Ruth, so you might as well just let Lou Gehrig hit. Okay, but without Babe Ruth, if Babe Ruth isn't in the lineup,
right?
And there were some other people now that Lou Gehrig is saying centerpiece of that Yankee lineup. I'm not saying he's going to hit 700 home runs, but I'll say this much. I don't think that Babe Ruth hit 700 home runs.
Yeah, Babe Ruth hit 714. 714. Hank Aaron hit 755.
Yeah.
Right. Babe Ruth hit 714. That was
but, also, too, maybe they didn't want to pitch to Lou Gehrig and they ended up pitching to Babe Ruth. Who knows?
Well, Gehrig's last year was age 36. He only played 8 games. But I'll give you his. Let me see if I can get it up on the screen so you can see them, Jeff. It'll be even better. Let me put this up on the screen for you. How's that?
I know his projection at 162 games.
Oh, it's sick. Let me put it up on the screen for you. I'll share it on there for you. Stop sharing. But share it. Share screen. Tom and Jeff talking. Now we're talking Lou Gehrig. You never know what's going to pop up on here. So I don't know how much you could see of that, Jeff. I'll try to bring it up bigger for you. So Lou Gehrig, this is age 32 to 35, Jeff. 154 games, 149 games. 155 games, 157 games, 157 games.
Well, look, go over a couple columns.
Okay.
Okay, keep going. You're at hits right now.
Yep.
Go to doubles, triples, home runs, go to RBIs.
Okay. I will give you...
Picture's a little bit blurry, but am I seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 years he led the league in RBIs?
All told, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years he led the league. His last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. His last 13 years, he had well over 100 RBIs a year.
Well over 100 RBIs a year, and almost got 200 RBIs at least two occasions. I think one year was 185. Where you are right now.
Yep, and then he had 173, 173, and 166.
173 RBIs. I want you to think about this, and this is sick to think about. You're in a lineup with Babe Ruth. You're in a lineup. How many did he have in 1927?
173.
173 RBIs batting with Murderer's Row.
Yep.
Murderer's Row, 173 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth is your teammate, and you're playing on Murderer's Row.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, this guy really was the iron. I mean, you look at his years. He's got 500, almost 600 at bats a year. 200 hits nearly every season. I mean, to me,
doubles every year, 40 to 50 doubles a year, right?
Yeah. His 162 game average is 141 runs, 204 hits, 40 doubles, 12 triples, which I think is amazing, 37 homers, 149 RBIs. Jeff, 149 RBIs, 8 stolen bases, and, this is amazing, 59 strikeouts a year. The guy averaged 59 strikeouts and 7 years of his career under 50 strikeouts for a season, 500, almost 600 at bats.
What was his average walks per year?
Average walks per year is 113.
113 walks. I wonder how many of them were intentional.
Very good question. It doesn't give you that stat, but that's a very good question. Hit by pitch, sacrifice flies. Yeah, no, it does not. He was MVP twice. He was second in the MVP polling twice. And a top 10 MVP 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in his career.
Wow.
So you think about it.
You see that as well, man.
Now, the guy wound up with 493 homers. Let's say he plays 3 more seasons healthy. And just about gets it. Let's say he's even below average. Another 90 homers. He's at 600 homers. He's at, he'd be over 3,000 hits easily. He had 2,700 hits. Another year or two, obviously, he's at that. And he would have had well over 2,000 RBIs for his career. I mean, it's beyond comprehension what his real numbers were. I mean, this is a guy, who played basically 13 to 14 years. I mean, it says 17, but his first couple of years were only a few games, and his last season was only 8 games. So, take those out.
I didn't
even
know that he played that many years, 17 years. But, yeah, you're right. What you're saying is he got about 14 years in.
Yeah, he had about 14 solid seasons in before he got sick. And like I said, he came up at age 20 for 13 games, age 21 for 10 games. And then in 1925, at age 22, he plays 126 games, 400 at-bats, 73 runs, 129 hits, 23 doubles, 10 triples, 20 homers, 68 RBIs in 120 games. I mean, just...
Let me ask you something. That now, his first full year, you just gave us a number for the first full year, okay? But let's play manager, general manager for a little bit, and you come up to me and you're like, listen, I like what this kid Gehrig did. He didn't even play a full season. Mm-hmm. And you start advocating for him to take over first base and be the first baseman for the next year, mm-hmm. straight through. What was his year? What was his record? Not his record. What was his numbers for his second year in the league?
Here it goes. 155 games, 572 at-bats, 135 runs, 179 hits, 47 doubles, 20 triples, led the league, 16 homers, 109 RBIs, and he had 105 walks to 73 strikeouts, and he batted .313.
Wow.
Yep. That's
unbelievable,
yeah.
numbers, man. Oh, yeah. I could talk Lou Gehrig all day and just read that stack of numbers right there. And
yeah.
Talk him all day.
You know, there are guys, Jeff, who come in the league and they have, you know, a block of 8, 9, 10 years where the numbers are just phenomenal. This guy packed in for 14 years. I'm talking, when you take his first, this is his first year, okay? First full season. Here's his numbers. We just went through them, but I'm going to do it again because I want to compare it. So his first year, 23 years old, he's got 155 games, 572 at-bats, 135 runs, 179 hits, 47 doubles, 20 triples, 16 homers, 109 RBIs. Jeff, go to his last full season, 157 games, four more at-bats than his rookie year, 576. He's got 115 hits, okay, 115 runs. 170 hits, 32 triples, 32 doubles, 6 triples, 29 homers, 114 RBIs. Jeff, from his first full season to his last full season, his numbers are actually better. How many guys playing in that era where it's, you know, you travel by train, you wore the worst uniforms, you know, you didn't work out full year round, you were doing a full-time job in the off season, and have those type of numbers is mind-boggling.
Yeah, there's not much you can say about those numbers, Tom. They're phenomenal fucking numbers, man.
Yeah, and here's the problem. The problem for Lou Gehrig is he played with Babe Ruth. That's the problem. You know, and you and me and baseball fans, you know who Lou Gehrig is, and you realize how good he was, but you don't know how great he really is because everybody talks about Babe Ruth, and I'm not knocking Ruth. I'm not going to knock Babe Ruth. The guy put up tremendous numbers. He saved baseball the whole bit. I'm going to give Babe Ruth the credit and a half. You know, he was a great pitcher beyond that. But when you look at Gehrig's numbers, and the guy comes in at 23, and he leaves at 35 with better numbers in that era, I would like to do that with other guys like Cobb and Ruth, see what their first year is and what their first real season is. And their last real season, and I guarantee it ain't as good as this.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you're going to see a sharp drop off compared to Lou Gehrig, man. Lou Gehrig, that's why, you know, he was like a machine.
Yeah.
I was a machine. When you look at him for a baseball player of that era,
yeah,
he had an athletic build.
Yeah.
He wasn't overly huge. Most of the guys would look like Babe Ruth. They kind of had a pot belly and stuff like that, where Gehrig... He was built like a baseball player. Like,
yeah,
he was built like a tight end.
Yeah, he was a big guy, and again, obviously a tremendous athlete. But when you, like I said, it's the consistency of it, and it's not like, well, he averaged 290, and you know he had 80 RBIs a year. This is a guy who's averaging 100. Let's see, he's averaging 40 doubles a season for a career, averaging 204 hits for a career, averaging 37 home runs for a career from first to last. I mean, Jefferson, and it's not like he had tremendous numbers in the beginning and then he fell in the bottom and it cut. No. His numbers are across the board. He's still hitting 29. I mean,
you still have his numbers up?
I do.
do me a favor. The first 2 years, his numbers don't count.
Okay.
And his last season, his numbers don't count because he was just breaking into the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last season, he only played 8 games. But that first year, okay, that he had the good numbers.
Yep.
Okay. His last full year in the league, he said he had better numbers than in his first year. Okay.
Pretty close to it, yes. It'd be pretty
this
close.
This guy was playing consistent and everything else. When you think of his average, 17-year average, would take 3 of those 17 years, just cast him aside because he really wasn't using those 3 years to pump those numbers up.
Oh,
so
sure.
So doing a 17-year average with actually 14 years playing, I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to do those numbers, but instead of using 17 years, I'm using 14 years.
I think it's a great move because, you're going to pump his numbers up. Yep.
And it's going to give us more.
Yeah, you're going to give him the real number. You're going to give him the real number because
that he actually did.
So I agree because you're going to make it 14-year average, and those numbers are going to be even more eye-popping than they are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that because I think that's actually would be – and then let's compare those numbers to what the 17-year is, and I bet you it goes up a few in every category because –
you're definitely going to go up a couple in each category.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, you watch it. You know, he's dead 20 years plus before we're even born. But you know, it's a name that's out there and it lives in Yankee history with the rest of the greats. But to me, when you put his numbers up against any Yankee, and again, I'm a huge fan of the Yankees, Mickey Mantles and all that. Nobody's numbers I'm going to take a look at some Babe Ruth numbers over the week. I'll bet you there's nobody's numbers come even remotely close to what this guy did.
The only thing that Babe Ruth I know that had better numbers was home run wise. RBIs, because he played a few more years. But I mean, average RBIs, I wouldn't be surprised if Gehrig actually had higher average RBI numbers than.
Well, I got it up in front of me, Jeff, if you really want to know.
Yeah.
So Babe Ruth played 22 years. His first, let's call it 4-5 years, he didn't get to 130 games till his 24th birthday. So his first 5 years, the numbers are okay. Now his average year numbers, Jeff, over 162 games. Now one thing I was surprised about, his batting average is .342, which is actually pretty good. It's real good. He averages, okay, so he's averaging 141 hits. That's runs. 141 runs, 186 hits, 33 doubles, 9 triples, 46 homers, 143 RBIs, and 8, and he has a batting average of .342. So the numbers are pretty good. I'm next week, we're going to put them side by side, Jeff, and take a look at it. But so now let's take a fit. Now, again, he played – so his last year in baseball, he wasn't even – his last year with the Yankees was the year before Gehrig was done. Now, Babe Ruth's early numbers are way better than his later numbers. Okay, so just keep that in mind. But he had a much longer career – playing 22 years, but I would say six or seven of them weren't great. So you're still talking about 16 or 17 years.
I hear you.
Okay. All right. So why don't you go do your thing? Let's we can call it right here. I know you got to go do something. Go ahead. Go do your thing. I'll end the show right here and we'll pick it up next week, but let's get Gehrig and Ruth side by side.
Yeah. We're going to have to do that. I will look up certain things about Gehrig.
Okay.
Figure out his 14-year average instead of 17-year average.
Okay.
I'll take care of that. You want to do Ruth I'll
do Ruth. You take care of getting the Gehrig thing worked out, and then we'll finish up the second half of the NFL, and we'll be back next week to do it. So go ahead, Jeff. I'll say goodbye. I'll do the goodbye so you don't have a problem.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Mike, I will see you next week. I got a pressing emergency meeting in the chambers I was unaware of.
Good.
I got to go.
Good, pal. I'll talk to you later.
Later, man.
All right. So, again, I want to thank you. Thanks to my dad for popping up. thanks to Mike and Frank and everybody who listened tonight. It's always great doing this with people watching us. So really, really big thank you. Thank you to everybody out there who also watched along and didn't pop in on us. So thank you very much. Thanks to the guys from Old Heavy Hands and their management for getting them on the show. It's always a great pleasure. So thanks to them for popping up on the show tonight. Make sure you check out oldheavyhands.com when you get a chance. So we'll be back next Thursday night. We got guests. I got a couple guests coming up for you. Remember, we're closing in on July 28th. Will be our 8th year anniversary, and I think it's our 550th show. So we got some special guests for you for that night. Maybe we'll get guys like Mike and some of our supporters to pop up and have them on. But please make sure you support Frank J. Giacio and Sam Bone, Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co., all RFO Records. They support us, and we thank them so much for that. But listen, guys, it's going to be a nice weekend up here in the Northeast. Wherever you are, make sure you have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show next Thursday night at 7 o'clock when Jeff and I go live. So for Jeff Towinski, myself, and everybody here, have a great night, a great weekend, and a great week. We'll see you back here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show next Thursday night. Have a good night and a great weekend. Oh.